I do look forward to seeing what Blaney can do with more Penske power. I think he's going to win a lot of races in the coming years, and he's definitely somebody we need to keep an eye on.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake, and you got another edition of NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley. Justin, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, good to be here again.
All right, Justin, a lot of excitement, you know, from the Pocono all the way back to the Brickyard since we talked, or since you were able to talk with the listeners. Two great wins, back-to-back weeks, you know, the thrilling win by Casey Kane and then the win by Kyle Busch at the Pocono at the Triangle Track. What your thoughts on what that does for the standings and how that impacts racing?
Well, number one, I'm surprised by one of those. Number two, I'm not surprised by the second one. I'll tell you, Casey Kane's win was huge in terms of chase implications because now that puts pressure on Logano and Kenseth, with Logano not running as well as he usually has. And I'm not surprised Kyle Busch won at Pocono. I think we talked on Saturday, and I picked him to win that race. So that's actually a rare feat for me because I'm usually in the general ballpark, but to call the winner of a NASCAR race correctly, it's kind of hard to do all the time. But, again, not surprised by that. That doesn't have as much of a chase implication as Kane's win does because Kyle was already well up in the standings. So, again, the pressure really now on Logano and Kenseth to make the chase.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, it's all on me. You know, I helped produce I produced the podcast, and we lost that one. You know, that one's in podcast heaven. It just didn't make the cut, so we had to re-record. But I can attest he did pick Kyle Busch. And like you said, Kyle Busch is number four in the standings right now behind Kevin Harvick, Kyle Larson, and Martin Truex Jr. Talk about Casey Kane. He's down there just rounding out the top 20. We're going to get to Watkins Glen later, but just as the standings right now, I mean, Kyle Busch pretty much cemented his spot with just, you know, putting himself in striking distance to Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, and I think now that he's firmly in the chase, everybody else should be worried. This guy's been on fire all year. He hasn't gotten the wins like he maybe should have, but I think if you're not a Kyle Busch fan, your hands are kind of getting a little bit sweaty right now because there is a strong possibility he could be a two-time champion. He's running probably better than anyone except Truex right now, and again, pretty dangerous when Kyle Busch is in the playoffs.
Like number five in the standings is Brad Keselowski, and some big news for him. Everybody was worrying about what he was going to do because his contract was expiring. Seems he re-upped with Team Penske. Your thoughts on Brad Keselowski? You kind of saw this one coming too, though.
Yeah, not surprised at all. I think we talked about that on our first podcast. Not surprised he re-signed with Penske. I figured he wasn't going to go anywhere. Now that he has that done, I think you're going to see a lot bigger focus out of Brad Keselowski. I look for him to maybe pick up a couple of more wins before the playoffs start. And not necessarily going to be a strong championship contender, but there's always that possibility. He did win it in 2012, so I look for Keselowski to have a bigger year than he's had the last couple of years.
And other big news for Team Penske, they get Ohio's own Ryan Blaney. He leaves Wood Brothers Racing now. I was shocked by this, but I'm not as close to the situation as you are. Tell us about this decision for Ryan Blaney and the impact it might have on him and his career.
Well, it's a great decision, and it's really not going to be that big of a change for him because of the alliance that Wood Brothers and Penske have. I'm not surprised that he's going to a bigger team. I'm surprised that Penske's actually pulling the trigger on bringing the 12 car back. I know they shut it down there for a while, but again, it's a good investment for Penske. Ryan Blaney has potential to be a future champion. He's obviously going to be a future superstar. He's already a superstar. So again, good call for Blaney and Penske to form that partnership. What I am surprised about, though, is that Menard is going to the Wood Brothers now. Again, he takes his father's sponsorship there and goes to the Wood Brothers. I don't really look for much change. Paul Menard hasn't really run well at Childress, so I don't really look for him to run any better or worse at Wood Brothers than he has. I do look forward to seeing what Blaney can do with more Penske power. I think he's going to win a lot of races in the coming years, and he's definitely somebody we need to keep an eye on.
Now, the other thing that was in the news over the last couple of weeks is the suspensions by Joe Gibbs Racing of their crew members. And you're kind of revved up about this one. We saw you putting that out there on Twitter. Go ahead and get it off your chest, Justin.
You know, I had a chance to look at the replay, and I really think that that was kind of wrong. I think a lot of other fans agree that it was wrong as well. Adam Stevens came to their pit box. They didn't go to his, and he got in their faces. So my opinion is maybe Adam Stevens should have been suspended, but again, you know, Joe Gibbs knows who his top guys are. He's not going to suspend his number one crew chief. Even if we think it's wrong or we think it's right, Gibbs had to do what he felt was best for business. So you got to respect that decision. Don't necessarily have to agree with it. And, again, I think Adam Stevens was a little bit out of line coming down there.
We've seen NASCAR suspend some drivers before, but would they step in that case if Joe Gibbs hadn't? Is this like a preemptive thing for Joe Gibbs Racing to kind of keep NASCAR from stepping in this situation?
No, I don't think NASCAR would have stepped in it at all. It wasn't really that big of a deal to me. It was just a couple of guys mouthing off to each other, really, just some minor shoving. I guess, if anything, they might have fined them, but to NASCAR, that's really not going to be that big of a deal. And, you know, Gibbs has the power to do whatever he wants in-house. And we have seen a case of Tony Stewart got fined by Home Depot. He had kicked a photographer at the Brickyard 400, and that was in 2002. They absolutely were not going to have any of that. NASCAR, I don't think, really fined him that much. He did get a fine from NASCAR, but he got a heavier fine from Home Depot for doing that. So, again, it's really a situation where that's handled in-house, and it's not really a worry for NASCAR as long as it doesn't happen too many times.
Arthur Blank and the guys trying to save face over there at Home Depot.
Right.
Well, let's get to the big race coming this week and see if you can pick a winner 2 weeks in a row. Glenn Watkins, New York, 350. Tell us your thoughts. Give us who you think is going to, you know, place well, of course. But then always, man, give us another prediction. I mean, can Kyle Busch do it 2 weekends in a row?
Not sure if Kyle can do it 2 weeks in a row. I mean, he's obviously going to be a contender. He runs really well at Watkins Glen. I think you got to look at some dark horses back there like A.J. Allmendinger. He did get his first and so far only win at Watkins Glen. I look for him to have a strong chance if he can keep that car in one piece and doesn't have anything go wrong like it did at Sears Point, or Sonoma, I should say. That's what we're calling it now. So my dark horse candidate is A.J. Allmendinger. I also look at Jimmy Johnson. I want to say Jimmy Johnson has a chance to win Watkins Glen. He doesn't really run well there. It's one of those tracks where he's never won. But I look for him to be in the mix late. He did have a strong run going at Sonoma. I don't know exactly what happened to him in the third stage, but something went wrong there. And I guess I didn't catch that. But my pick to win at Watkins Glen, I want to say Brad Keselowski. He's been so close so many times, I think that he gets the job done, or at least is up there fighting for the win late.
All right, and then what's your favorite memory about Watkins Glen, or just something memorable over the last, you know, recent memory that you can tell listeners, you know, something interesting about that track or something that sticks out in your mind?
Well, I don't want to keep seeming like a Dale Sr. homer, but let's be honest, the Intimidator was my hero growing up. And I go back to 1996 when he won the pole with a broken sternum at Watkins Glen. He led the first 54 laps, and he maybe could have won it if he didn't have that broken sternum. Fact is, he got a little worn out late. He finished sixth, but there was no way he was getting out of that car 2 weeks in a row. He had to get out the Brickyard 400, and for people who are not familiar, a week before that, he had a crash at Talladega, and he broke his sternum. It was just one of the scariest-looking crashes ever, and he got in the car at Watkins Glen, and when they came around to the first caution, I think he decided, I'm going to stay out. I'm going to run this thing. And the biggest thing I remember about that was how crazy the crowd went. You could hear people just going nuts, cheering for Earnhardt staying on the course there. And he toughed it out and got sixth place, which is something a lot of folks could never do.
I think I remember that was a pretty big deal because he wasn't he was medically cleared, but a lot of people did not want him to even get in the car at that point after that crash in Talladega, if I'm correct.
Right. Childress was scared to death, and that's why they kind of made him get out of the Brickyard. It's the first time I think a lot of people ever saw Dale Earnhardt cry on national television. He did not want to get out of that race car.
for, you know, the casual fan, and it is something that sticks in my mind. It showed the toughness of race car drivers. A lot of people, you know, that they really are athletes, you know, for a guy to, you know, race injured or race on the mend like that, you know, and we're talking about 1996. So it's been something that is definitely a legacy that, you know, helped all NASCAR drivers.
Yeah, and you hear stories about Ricky Rudd taping his eyes open to run at Daytona. And another great Ricky Rudd story, and I was actually at this race when I was a kid, was in 98 at Martinsville. He was overcome by the heat, and his cooling system went out in his car like early on in the race, and he had stopped to get some relief from his crew, and they had left the water hose sitting out in the sun.
Oh.
And when they sprayed him off, they burnt Ricky Rudd.
Wow.
But he had the option of getting out of the car, and he said, no, we have a car that can win the race, and he did. He went on and won that race over Jeff Gordon and Mark Martin.
Wow. Well, that's great stuff. Anything else you want to leave the people with this week? I mean, that's two great stories right there, Justin, man. I mean, I think the people getting their money's worth this week on the podcast.
Yeah, and like I said, we really enjoy racing. I think what's really fun about Twitter now that I've been a part of it is interacting with other NASCAR fans, and sometimes you'll even get some of the drivers to talk to you. I know Kenny Wallace is a great follow. That's always fun. I like following Jimmy Johnson, and going back to your athlete point, Jimmy Johnson just does some crazy stuff. He's always out biking, and this time I think I saw on Instagram he was out in the woods in cold water trying to fish. So these guys are stout, man. They really are tough dudes, and it takes a lot to wheel a 3,400-pound race car around the track.
Oh, yeah, and the endurance always comes in. You talk about Twitter, man. Make sure you please share your Twitter so people can follow you and see your live tweets during races.
Yeah, I changed them up to make things a little bit more simple. My Twitter is 2JustinBradley. Instagram is 3JustinBradley. That's a shout-out to Dale Earnhardt. So those are ways you can interact with me. I don't post as much on Instagram as I do on Twitter, but I do love taking pictures. So if you want to see some good pictures of the beach or whatnot, I'll be sure to get those on there for you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be talking racing officially here on With an Ohio Bias regularly with Justin Bradley. Justin, go ahead and say goodbye to the good people.
All right, so long, folks, and we'll see you later.
All right, and make sure that you subscribe and like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at With an Ohio Bias. You can search in the iTunes store, find this podcast, subscribe. So every time, you know, we drop a new one, you know, you'll be up to date with what the racing, with the latest racing podcasts from us, and you'll get those winners like Kyle Busch last week that you didn't get to hear. Definitely, you can find us on Google Play as well. Just search With an Ohio Bias, and also on the Stitcher app, and you can listen to that one in your Apple AirPlay if you have that in your car. Thanks for listening. We will talk at you next time at With an Ohio Bias.